Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 5. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyaschechatabhayam Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyaschechatabhayam Tasmat. For this reason, Bharata, O descendant of Bharata, Sarvatma, the Supersoul, Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead, Ishvaraha, the Controller, Harihi, the Lord who vanquishes all miseries, Shrotavyaha, is to be heard. Kirtitavyaha, to be glorified. Cha, also. Smartavyaha, to be remembered. Cha, and Ichita, of one who desires. Abhayam, freedom. Translation, O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries. Anyone desire to be free from all miseries?
Yes.
We have extra miseries for those that don't say yes. Anyone would like to be free from all miseries?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, all right. Must hear about, glorify, and also remember the Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami has described how the foolish materially attached men, women of course don't do this, are wasting their valuable time in the improvement of the material conditions of life by sleeping, indulging in sex life, developing economic conditions, and maintaining a band of relatives who are to be vanquished in the air of oblivion. Any questions? Being engaged in all these materialistic activities, the living soul entangles himself in the cycle of the law of fruitive actions. This entails the chain of birth and death in the 8,400,000 species of life, the aquatics, the vegetables, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the uncivilized men, and then, again, the human form, which is the chance for getting out of the cycle of fruitive action. Therefore, if one desires freedom from this vicious circle, then one must cease to act as a karmi, or enjoyer of the results of one's own work, good or bad. One should not do anything, either good or bad, on his own account, but must execute everything on behalf of the Supreme Lord, the ultimate proprietor of everything that be. This process of doing work is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:27. Also, where instruction is given for working on the Lord's account, therefore, one should first of all hear about the Lord when one has perfectly and scrutinizingly heard. One must glorify his acts and deeds, and thus it will be possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of the Lord. Hearing about and glorifying the Lord are identical with the transcendental nature of the Lord, and by so doing, one will always be in association of the Lord. This brings freedom from all sorts of fear. The Lord is the Supersoul, Paramatma, present in the hearts of all living beings, and thus, by the above hearing and glorifying process, listen to this, the Lord invites the association of all His creation. This process of hearing about and glorifying the Lord is applicable for everyone, whoever he may be, and thus it will lead one to the ultimate success in everything in which one may be engaged by providence. There are many classes of human beings, the fruitive workers, the empiric philosophers, the mystic yogis, and ultimately the unalloyed devotees. For all of them, one and the same process is applicable for achieving the desired success. Everyone wants to be free from all kinds of fear, and everyone wants the fullest extent of happiness in life. The perfect process for achieving this, here and now, is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is uttered by the great authority, by such a great authority as Srila Shukadeva Goswami. By hearing about and glorifying the Lord, all a person's activities become molded into spiritual activities, and thus all conceptions of material miseries become completely vanquished. So beautiful. Can anybody write like this? I don't know anyone that can write like this. So the verse again. Tasmat bharata sarvatma bhagavan ishvaro harihi shrotavya kirtitavyas jasmartavyas chetata bayam. O descendant of Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. Beautiful verse. I chose this verse because it's an essence verse of one of many essences verses from Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami is speaking, or Vyasadeva is writing, something that is so essential. And one can say the whole of the Bhagavatam rests upon this message, or again, this message is repeated in a theme-like fashion, because repetition is necessary for clear understanding, Prabhupada would say. The context is, this is the, we say the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. But in these beginning verses of Canto 2, this is where Shukadeva Goswami begins speaking. That is to say, in the previous 19 chapters of the first canto, Shukadeva Goswami hasn't spoken one word. It's spoken by Sutta about the subject matter that he heard from Shukadeva Goswami. And in the 19th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami makes his appearance. He hasn't spoken yet. He's described that he heard this message from Vyasadeva back in the 7th chapter. And the sages say, well, wait a minute. Shukadeva Goswami is a liberated person. Why does he have to study anything? Why does he have to learn anything? Why would he be interested in hearing this scripture from his father? Because he's already perfect. And then comes the Atmarama verse, very famous verse. Even such persons who are Atmarama, fully satisfied like Shukadeva Goswami, they're interested in this Srimad Bhagavatam because it's not of this world. He was already beyond this world that he was interested in Srimad Bhagavatam, which says the math is easy. 2 + 2 = 4. Bhagavatam is beyond this material world. It's not a mundane subject matter. That's why he wasn't interested in other things, but he was interested in this one. Then what to speak of those who are entangled in this world that gives them light into the darkness of material existence. So then he's spoken about earlier, then he makes his appearance, because Shukadeva Goswami, having heard the full extent of Srimad Bhagavatam, has left home and just wandering about, clothed by the four directions. You know what that means. And the worldly people didn't understand who he was. And he wasn't bothered by their mistreatment, their taunts, their name-calling, and their foolishness. But when he entered into the assembly of the sages who had come to be present for the departure of Maharaj Parikshit, because he was cursed to die in 7 days, just by his presence in that assembly of sages, it wasn't just, you know, the Prabhus or the Sunday feast lecture or something. It was all the great sages and learned scholars and yogis and transcendentalists, and here comes this 16-year-old boy, young man, they've never seen before, and just by his presence they understood. And they all, his position, and they all stood respectfully to receive him. They didn't go, oh, I saw a picture of, somebody sent me a digital picture of Shukadeva Goswami, he's the son of Vyasadeva. They didn't know. They had never seen him before. But by his spiritual stature, they all rose to receive him and offered him the seat of honor. And Shukadeva Goswami was approached by Maharaj Parikshit, who then came before him and offered all great respect due to such a person. In fact, the Bhagavatam says that he asked the same questions of the sages, and they just argued over what the answer was. No consensus. You know what those things are like. But So he asked the same questions of Shukadeva Goswami. It was two questions. What is the duty of a person who is about to die, or for that matter, people in general, because we're all about to die? And what is that subject matter that one should Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, and the language is Dyeya Pujascha Nityada. Here it's similar, instead it's Smartavya Chetatabhayam. But the previous verse is Dyeya. Remember, hear, chant, and always remember. What's that subject matter? The one should always hear, chant, and remember. And that ends Canto 1. And Canto 2, Shukadeva Goswami speaks for the first time. So this is verse 5 out of his speaking. I'm attempting to place this wonderful verse in context, so its jewel-like nature shines even brighter. He praises Maharaj Parikshit for such a wonderful question, because it's not just good for him, it's good for all living beings, and that's the nature of a qualified person like Maharaj Parikshit. He's not just interested in selfish purposes, but he's interested in the welfare of all. In fact, it was within his question. What's good for the person who's about to die, and for that matter, all persons? What is the duty? So there are specific duties for specific persons and specific psychophysical natures, and that's also part of Vedic culture. But overarching above that is a principle that all persons in all situations, in all circumstances of life, should be centering their attention upon. And in fact, that's what the theme of this seminar, this time together, is about. In the teaching of Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Our Nectar of Devotion, there are many principles that are to be observed in the matter of seva, or devotional service. There are 64 items mentioned, and he, Rupa Goswami, says there's one principle that they're all the servants of. That's always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That's the purpose of all the devotional service that we do. It's the servant, the kinkara of that one, that master. That's the principle that hopefully we'll walk away after our time spent together, and we'll be in the spiritual world because of focusing our attention on the personality of Godhead, just as this verse is indicating. So he says the question is most wonderful. Then very quickly, in the second verse, he speaks about the unfortunate condition of those who are engrossed in material existence. Text 2. Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. And then he drills down a little bit. He gives a little more detail. What is that engrossment in material nature like? No offense to the householders, but it speaks about householders first. Of course, our householders are, by properly following what's in this verse, it elevates consciousness above that engrossed attachment. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night, either in sleeping or sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. then the focus in the next verse, just before this one, is persons devoid of atma-tattva. Atma-sanyeshu asatsvapi. Instead of being attached to the interest of the soul, they're attached to the asat with its various permutations and combinations, with its various features of variety of I like this one, or I prefer that one, give me some of this, I want some of that, put it all together and put it in a blender and come out with material life. But missing is atma-tattva. Persons devoid of atma-tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers, like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. It's not just the things, but it's the attachment to those things. Too much attached to those things results in one's consciousness becomes covered. And when one is covered, not only doesn't one inquire, but one can't hear if someone says what's beyond this platform of attachment. People will say, not interested, or I have no time, or get lost, or something. You're wasting your time, you're foolish people, you're just sentimentalists, and all kinds of expletives they share with the devotees. The worldly people just can't understand. Because of that, they're too much attached. Now, there is a position where one can realize that one's condition is not pleasant. Unfortunately, most people don't even realize it's unpleasant. They think, oh, it's very nice. And on and on. The stool-eating hog is thinking, this is very nice. And on and on. Prabhupada would describe it that way. And for the human form of life, yuck. But for that position of attachment, very nice. And I just have to, in the human form of life, I have to make this arrangement, that arrangement, and happiness. Just this morning I was listening to Prabhupada speaking about that. The carrot on the stick, and one keeps going and keeps going, and the mudha, the donkey, the ass-like person, doesn't realize each step I take, it's also the expectation of happiness is yet one step further away. And it's always the expectation of happiness, the expectation of happiness, the expectation of happiness that never happens. And because of being so covered by specifically mentioned is fruitive intention, one keeps going, chasing the carrot on the end of the stick, and the stick is attached to one's back, and you just keep moving after the carrot, and it never happens. Something happens. The senses come in contact with sense objects, and in the mode of passion, it looks nice. Happiness in the mode of passion looks nice in the beginning, and it ends up being miserable. So I just need to make some adjustment, and I'll take another stab at the carrot, that happiness that doesn't have misery. Everyone wants it. But who's taking the time out to say, wait a minute, everyone wants happiness that's unmixed, and no one is experiencing happiness that's unmixed. Why is it that we want happiness that's unmixed? Everybody. And why is it that no one is having it? There's something wrong with this picture. They don't inquire. Such condition, such Bhagavatam is teaching us, Shukadeva Goswami is teaching, that's the plight of the materially conditioned soul. So what's the solution? Bhagavatam is, in this verse, presenting the solution. Tasmat is the first word of the verse. Therefore, or he's translated as, for this reason. For this reason, the material paradigm of fruitive attraction, striving, especially in this human form of life, but in the all of the other forms of life, striving for happiness of senses meeting sense objects, or just different tastes of this sense and that sense object, makes for variety. The modes of nature mix and there's variety. But the principle is passion. By contact with the mode of passion, one desires to be the enjoyer of illusory existence, which never happens because it's illusory. It's very powerful. One keeps going. And thus one is called the fool, or mudha. And Prabhupada liked the word rascal. Bewildered. That's the word in this other verse, pramatha. Pramatha means especially mad. Particularly mad. But he's translated as too much attached. The madness is from the attachment. Let go. No. That's my enjoyment. And then they'll tell you about their suffering. But my dear sir, that expectation of happiness is your suffering. Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. No, it's not the expectation of happiness, it's that person or this thing or that circumstance. That's my suffering. It's not any of those things. It's the attachment to trying to be an enjoyer of that which has no juice. It has no enjoyment. Fundamentally, in principle, it's illusory. There's no water in a desert. Although it may look like there's water in a mirage. I was with a Russian group last night while you were enjoying here. And I mentioned the word mirage and asked them, what's the word in Russian? They said, it's mirage. I don't know what it is in Sanskrit, but it's the same word in Russian, mirage. Everyone knows what a mirage is, but everyone is after the mirage. Anyway, so that's the emphasis that leading up to this verse. Tasmat, Bharata, O king, you're very concerned about your citizens because you're the king. You want their welfare. You know what the problem is. Therefore, Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha. So the emphasis in the purport is the hearing and chanting activity. But everyone is hearing and chanting. If they don't have, they're not hearing and chanting about Krishna, they're hearing and chanting about something. In these purports, Prabhupada describes very nicely. The birds get up in the morning and they start singing. Where is food? The businessman gets up in the morning and he's chanting, what's the price of the commodities today? What's happening in the stock market? The politician is saying, what are they saying about me in the newspapers today? What's the public opinion? So, hearing and chanting about something. And with that, an attachment of, by doing that, I'll enjoy. So the attachment needs to be transferred. In Kapila Dev's teaching to Devahuti, he speaks the same thing. Very nice, very simple. Same presentation. It's just an expansion of this little verse, this foundational verse, that suffering is due to attachment to the temporary. And that very same attachment, detailing in so many ways, that very same attachment needs to be transferred to, he says, to sadhu. Because through sadhu, you'll get the sound vibration. And through the sound vibration, you'll get remembrance. And with that remembrance, as the verse is saying, all material conceptions are dissolved. It's like a commercial. Alka-Seltzer or something. Just put this tablet in water. You don't even have to stir. It just dissolves. The whole of material conception dissolves. Material conception. And with the material conception comes material existence. Before you get the existence, you have the conception of it. Again, Kapila Dev discusses this. It's very refined and a little maybe too technical for this circumstance here. But before there is form, before there is what Brahma does, there is a mind. And within mind, mind has the capacity for conceiving of things. Bhagavad Gita says that the mind carries different conceptions of life, just as air carries aroma. It's a function of the mind. Here's what it says in the purport. Last sentence of the purport. By hearing about and glorifying the Lord, all of a person's activities become molded into spiritual activities, and thus all conceptions of material miseries become completely vanquished. So what's the function of the mind in spiritual life? Function of the mind in general is carrying conceptions. The problem with material life and the problem with making advancement in spiritual life is we're holding on to material conceptions. Start with the essence one, that, you know, I'm an enjoyer. This type, that type, the other type, but boy, I'm not letting go of I'm the enjoyer. Because if I let go of I'm the enjoyer, what do I have? I don't have anything, so I'm not letting go of that one. So I'm taking up spiritual life with the idea that I'm the enjoyer. But you're not taking up spiritual life with the idea that you're enjoying. You're holding on to material life and trying to bring your dirty laundry into the spiritual world. You can't do that. You leave it at the door, like your shoes. The material conceptions have to be relinquished. But we're holding on tightly to them. So what do? Then the sound vibration. I was reading this verse and hearing the kirtan and thinking on this particular point. Even a child, the process of bhakti has made for us so easy. We just go and chant and dance and the material conceptions are dissolving. Just by sound vibration. And it's fun. It's very natural. It's natural for the soul. In the spiritual world, they're singing and dancing. And, you know, we're singing and dancing. You know, it's a different kind of dance as far as our conceptions. But it's leading us to that position. It's, from the soul platform, it's transcendental. The sound platform is transcendental. And that sound enters the mind. And vidhunoti surhitsatam, it cleanses the mind. Ashtaprayeshu avadreshu, and so many nice descriptions. From what Kapila Dev describes is, in the mind, there's subtle form of matter and as a conception, and then there's sound. That is also a subtle form. It's just further down line before there's form. Sound, subtle form of matter. Sound is a subtle form of matter. And then you hear material sound, and what do you get? You get matter. It configures according to that sound, which matches the conception. So what the solution is, you have to hear spiritual sounds and stop hearing material sounds. I notice it more in New York City than in Chicago or even other cities, but loud rap music is so popular in New York. I mean, driving along, when you stop at stoplights and the car next to you, it's not, you roll up the window and it's not just the sound is so loud, the whole car is moving. And the people inside, they're vibrating the same sound as their favorite rap singer. Boom, boom, boom. Lots of bass, and the whole car is rocking. And I can't imagine what the consciousness of the person who's hearing that sound vibration is. And what are they going to do when they get out of the car? They're going to hit somebody. Because it's anger and anger and man, blah, 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 boom, boom. No wonder there's so much violence. It's sound vibration. And they have no taste for, spiritual sound vibration. Kirtan, forget it. But so there's value. Even people don't know what kirtan is. Even they don't know what it is. I sent out a little notice because it came to us, and it was just wanted to share that the United States Armed Forces has the first Hindu chaplain. Some girl was a, whatever you call it, a member of the United States Army. And Anutama knows the girl, and so he's supplied her Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. She's not a sadhaka, doesn't consider herself a Hare Krishna devotee, as far as I can gather, but she speaks Prabhupada's message, and at the end she spoke to the U.S. Congress. And I'd like to end with a very nice prayer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And all this stuff that's going on in Tomsk, where they're wanting to ban Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, which is so horrible. But on the other hand, wow, people all over the world are hearing Prabhupada's name and Hare Krishna, and I want to find I got to get one of those books and find out what's bad about those books. All over the world. They're doing some wonderful Kamsa-like devotional service. They're remembering Krishna like anything. Not favorably, so it's not devotional service, but they're helping other people remember Krishna. Just by sound vibration. Bhaktisiddhanta spoke like this, and Prabhupada spoke like this. Some article criticizing, Prabhupada looked at the article and said, how many times did they say Krishna? Oh, very good. Now, we should take such challenges seriously, and our devotees are certainly taking it seriously, but there's an upside to that harsh attack. And because through sound. And that sound is going to, what does sound do? Preaching is effective, Prabhupada described, when the side of the atheists becomes strong against the side of the Krishna devotees. It's a sign that our preaching is going on very nicely. Because those that are attached to an atheistic conception, along with the material conception, they'll take opposition to that sound vibration and the life that it's creating. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. We shouldn't be... We do dutiful devotional service in those circumstances, but it's not bad. We take it seriously, but it's not bad. based on sound. Specifically, Prabhupada explains about this sound vibration. According to sound, it can not only dissolve material conceptions, what this verse says, but it dissolves material existence. And conversely, material sound creates material existence. And one's attachment to it. So, this proper hearing from the right source of the right subject matter is so critical. Absolutely critical. In the first part of the verse, Tasmat Bharata, there are four things mentioned. Sarvatma, Bhagavan, Ishvaro, and Hari. So, Sarvatma, that's Paramatma. Sarva Atma, the soul of all souls, the Paramatma, the Super Soul. And Super Soul, as we know, he's the controller of material energy. Vayadhyakshena Prakriti. Suyate sacharacharam. So he can bring the material circumstance to bear. He can give release of the material circumstance. So the problem is not the material circumstance. The problem is where our attention is. Where is the mind going at any moment? Some difficulty, some harsh experience, whatever it is. Where is the mind going? That's where our attention should go. And Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara, he's the controller, not somebody or somebody or somebody. Or not even ourselves. We're not the controller. There is a Supreme Controller. Our attention goes there. And Hari, he has translated this in the verse, the Savior from all miseries. Well, Hari literally means one who takes away, or one who steals, one who takes away miseries. But Hari is very nice. He not only takes away miseries, he gives us himself. He gives reality. He gives connection to the spiritual realm, to our natural, eternal, spiritual position. So the process is hearing and chanting. But the result, just one last point, the result is Shrotavya. That's remembrance. Smartavya, excuse me. Remembrance. Smartavya. And that remembrance isn't a rote memorization of something. It's not from the outside brought in. It's from the inside that's being awakened. That kind of remembrance. Two statements just to support that. In his introduction to Bhagavad Gita, one of the little phrases that I like very much is, Prabhupada says, Krishna descends into this material world to remind the human society what is the purpose of life when they have forgotten that purpose. So simple. Prabhupada, when he first spoke, similarly, first public address, long, nice narration, but just to keep it because of time. When he spoke in Tompkins Square Park, his statement was, I've not come to teach you something new. I've come to remind you of that which you have forgotten. That kind of remembrance. We forgot. Forgot the purpose of life. So, Krishna comes to remind us of the purpose of life, and the representative of Krishna reminds us of the purpose of life. The purpose of life is, the reawakening to that purpose of life is by hearing, just like when you're asleep. Hearing, it's the sense that's still operative. So by hearing spiritual sound, the sleep condition of the soul becomes awakened. Oh, the purpose of life. It's not chasing carrots. It's not trying to find happiness by bringing the senses to some sense object and going, ooh, happiness. That's not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is something else, connecting the soul to the Supreme Soul. And as Prabhupada states in the purport, that sound vibration, the hearing and chanting, is not different than Krishna himself. One is in touch with Krishna by the hearing and chanting process. And one in touch with Krishna, oh, Krishna, remembrance, that kind of remembrance. Oh, I forgot Krishna. And so in any circumstance, calamity, devotees have described this, when they are in a very dangerous circumstance, a car accident or something like that, what happens in a devotee car? At the top of their lungs, they're calling out Krishna's name. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. The whole car full of people screaming Krishna's name in a very attached to Krishna situation. Or when something is in a very nice circumstance, thought goes to Krishna, not to the nice circumstance. I've got a knee problem. So yesterday I was at a physical therapist and they were taking me through some routine. Well, it was actually the day before. And one person came in to assist and said, "Are you comfortable?" I said, "No." And then the next question was, "Is there another position that you'd be more comfortable?" And my immediately thought was, "Krishna Loka, let me out of here." I was thinking, just how fortunate by being in Prabhupada's association that even that thought came. The position of being comfortable is being with Krishna, not something else. Not, you know, let me move on this side or move my leg out that way and I'll be more comfortable. Let me be with Krishna. And that's the end here, is this last word, abhayam. Bhaya and abhaya. So it says Prabhupada's AC Bhaktivedanta. AC is abhaya. Abhaya, then he has initiated abhaya charan. So then AC Bhaktivedanta. So the position, the name that his father gave him was abhaya. And what Sukadeva Goswami is saying is that's the position from what we're trying to do. Shrotavya, Kirtitavya, Smartavya, Chechitabhayam. One goes to that position where there's no fear. Not that bluff of the bully. They have that little decal that says, "No fear." Like big muscles and "No fear." That's garbage. It's a bluff. And they're gone. No fear. The position of no fear is, nothing can harm me. I mean, the body can be taken, but not the soul, you can't be touched. And the relationship with Krishna can't be touched by anything outside. Nothing. That's the position of no fear. Just like Shukadeva Maharaj Parikshit, when the snake bird, the whole of the Bhagavatam is narrated, he said, "Let the snake bird come, I'm ready. My mind is fixed upon the personality of Godhead and it's going to release me from this embodiment and I'll go to Krishna, Hari Bol. Let the snake bird come." No fear. That's the position of no fear. When there's full shelter in the personality of Godhead, that's the fruit of proper hearing, chanting, and remembering. Hare Krishna. So, any comments or questions? We have our little microphone thing. Okay, go ahead. Wow.
First, I have the mic. Maharaj, it seems that the conditioned soul, when he hears the spiritual sound, because of his filters, the message may not be penetrating as deep as it should. But if he is aware of his precarious position in the material world, if he's really thirsty for that knowledge, then he can appreciate that sound.
It'll help,
Sure. So how does one gain more awareness of his precarious condition?
Well, one is by gradual purification, and another is by abrupt purification. Yeah, abrupt purification. Pow! Woo! That's the abrupt kind. And that's Krishna's kindness for a devotee. That's Krishna's kindness. We're going along complacent. So Krishna doesn't like us to be complacent, so he gives us a little shock. Something Prabhupada calls it a reversal. You're going this way, and then all of a sudden you're going in reverse. You're going that way. So reversals of life come unexpectedly to help us do what you just asked about. That, for a devotee, that's one of the purposes. To detach us from this position of complacency, from the tendency to try to be the enjoyer of that, oh, everything is nice situations. It's not nice if we're not mindful of Krishna. So to go more deeply, some reversal. Or someone will come and speak the message strongly, purely, powerfully, and like you were doing, come together and hear extendedly. Those are all nice ways to hear more deeply that message. Okay? Jai Jagannath?
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your eloquent discussion. I'm immediately reminded of the 15th chapter in the first canto of Bhagavatam, when Arjuna is lamenting, and then he remembers the instructions of Krishna.
Yes.
And then Sutta Goswami comments about that whole situation afterwards. And then, and one point he makes is that Arjuna was able to overcome the duality of separation from Krishna by remembering the instructions of the Lord. So he can realize the Lord is not separate from me, he's actually with me. By remembrance of the Lord. And a similar statement came in today's purport that reminded me of that. So my question is that that type of experience where the message is non-different from the Lord and one can feel oneself in the association of the Lord seems like a perfectional type of hearing and chanting and remembering of the Lord. And our...
What about the rest of us?
Yeah, about the rest of us, it happens that we oftentimes, or at least I can speak for myself, feel that unless I'm in proximity of the Lord or the spiritual master, then I don't experience that type of association from my type of hearing, chanting, remembering.
However, so the response that I'd like to offer is, however, it's still acting. However thick the covering is, let's say the covering is 3 miles thick. Chito, Darpana, Marjanam, and how thick is that dust on the heart? 5 miles thick. But the process doesn't change. The process is Marjanam, it's cleansing the mirror of the mind, gradually dissolving the material conceptions. So if I'm not experiencing what Arjuna was experiencing, let me go on with the process, because the process is working. And one can feel the process working in various ways. Bhava mahata vagi nirva. The pangs of material existence that I have been so familiar with, it's diminishing. It's fading. And some liking for the process, and so on. I like the qualities of the devotees. I like kirtan. I'm not experiencing what Arjuna is experiencing, but there's some attraction, and this other is diminishing. So let me continue. It strengthens faith, and in that strengthened condition of faith, the hearing is, like the prior question, it's more ardent, more attentive, and so on. So we continue. We continue. It's gradual because we're attached. to our covering. But the potency is there in that sound vibration to at once remove. So the willingness on my side, that's where it's short. Someone else? Ramiya? In the back? Raise your hand because they don't know who you are. There he is.
In this purport, speaking about the attachment of householders, but it seems like there has to be some attachment or one can't even stay there.
That's right.
So is it the type of attachment or the degree of detachment? Or
yes.
What is it that's wrong?
Exactly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I was trying to say it succinctly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about that degree of attachment that's necessary for one to be a responsible householder. Pause. But not overly attached. That is to say, that attachment, the aspiring grihastha should try their best and continue over a period of time to try their best to let to that direct that attachment to pleasing Krishna in this relationship of wife and children and family. Let Krishna be pleased that I'm doing this duty through my attachment for his pleasure, not for my own. Certainly, some of my own pleasure is there. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this situation. But let me dedicate that to do it nicely so that Krishna is pleased. And to the degree that Krishna is pleased, that material portion of the attachment diminishes. Just as Queen Kunti was praying to Krishna, please remove the material portion of my attachment for the Pandavas and Vrishnis, so that the spiritual attachment is all that remains. So one should aspire like that, or strive like that, or pray like that. Cultivate. And supposing one becomes a pure devotee, well, that day will be nice, we become a pure devotee, then there's no more material attachment. Now what does one do when one has no more material attachment? One, just like Krishna instructs Arjuna, one dutifully performs to show by example this is how it is done. Not with material attachment, but as an instructor of those who are attached, this is how it is to be done. And internally, there's only one attachment. So, yes, progressive stages of material attachment or release from material attachment proportionate to the spiritual attachment. And then other stages of life also for the sake of showing by example and so on. That's another subject matter. Entering vanaprastha life and sannyas life in such a way that it's exemplary. It's not, okay, see you later. Well, wait a minute. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm doing my duty here. See you later. I'm detached. So how to do that responsibly in an exemplary way? Yes? Donna Kelly.
You mentioned that before Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Shukadev Goswami as to what is the proper subject matter for hearing and chanting and remembering, that he asked the sages and they weren't able to give a definitive answer.
Yeah.
So my question is it only in the entire day of Lord Brahma, is it only when Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken that the living entities have a clue?
No. No. There are perfected souls other than Shukadeva Goswami in each day of Brahma. And such persons can offer definitive answers that even those that are otherwise confused will accept. There's conditions where people won't accept too. But certainly there are persons that are other than Shukadeva.
So before Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, some persons knew that the proper subject.
Sure, for absolutely. Like this Gota Bhagavad Gita, the sun god Vivaswan, and Vivaswan to Manu, and Manu to Ikshvaku, and something happened after that, somewhere along the line. But those persons, we can say, Krishna at least gives the credit to them that, you know, they got it, etc. Dravida Prabhu? Please, make a comment.
I was just thinking, thank you Maharaj for a very illuminating class. I'm sorry, I don't know why, but I'm a little jet lagged, so I'm not...
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I've been up since like 12:30, and I couldn't...
Oh, my goodness.
So it's starting to hit me now, but anyway... this point about associating with Krishna through the sound was like so foundational.
Yeah.
Obviously. You know.
Yeah.
And one thing I'd like to point out, and maybe I'll mention it later when I get to expand on it. In the 10 offenses, the second offense about how we shouldn't think that the demigods are equal to or independent of Lord Krishna, there's also, that's actually two different offenses. You know,
yes.
This is one of these, if you look at the Sanskrit, I won't get into it now, it's one of these verses that you can interpret different ways. And one of the ones, which is mentioned in the Adi Lila when Prabhupada gives the Sanskrit and the purports, but which we aren't so aware of, is that it is offensive not to think or to understand that the holy name is non-different from Krishna. But that's an offense. Which is quite breathtaking, because when we're chanting our rounds or when we're in kirtan or anytime hearing the holy name, the understanding should be, oh, this is Krishna. And I can associate with Krishna just by hearing that name, with Krishna himself in his fullness. That's the actual understanding. But our mind is wandering. It's almost like if Krishna would walk in the door right now with the flute and you know, and the whole entourage and everything, would we pay a little attention and go off, you know, think about something else? Obviously not. We'd all be breathtaking. We'd be offering our bases, glorifying and ripulating. But every day when we're chanting our rounds, we can associate with Krishna through the holy name. And understanding that should make us more eager to hear and contemplate that holy name more carefully. That's the idea.
Yeah. And where the mind goes when the sound is going is very important. And where our attachment is, where the mind will go. We need to transfer the attachment to the sound. And the advice, Kapila Dev's advice is attachment to the producer of the sound helps attachment to the sound. But so such importance we place in our founder Acharya as the giver of that sound, that we're just passing on. That's a nice service, passing on sound that we heard from and received from Srila Prabhupada. But as our founder Acharya, that which not only it unifies the whole of ISKCON, but realistically speaking, quite practically speaking, what sound? Who can make sound vibration like that? Because it's pure consciousness. That's the superlatively attractive and empowered personality to bring Krishna into this world through sound. Unparalleled empowerment. Let's hear that sound and be greatly appreciative and attached to our founder Acharya. Hare Krishna. So I'm going to end because of I'm missing a conference call at 8:30. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.